Your Honor, I have a procedural question.
Yes.
My understanding is that the government yesterday, while I was traveling to Washington, D.C., has moved to remand this case because they're requesting the board to sui sponte reopen it. Will I be given, based on the en banc opinion of Fernandez-Ruiz, I was wondering, would I be given additional time to argue against?
Well, actually, that's part of what we want to ask you about, is that. So why don't you begin your time, and we'll go into that along with other issues.
Then, Your Honor.
We'll probably ask you about it right away. So why don't you introduce yourself for the record, and we can go to the heart of that.
Hey, police court, my name is Tom Towsley. I am the pro bono counsel that's been appointed by the Ninth Circuit in this case to represent Sergio Aurelio Rivas. I believe I mispronounced it. The judge pronounced it correctly. I've represented Sergio for 2 years, initially before the board. He's been detained at the Northwest Detention Facility for 2 years. My understanding is while I was traveling from Washington, D.C., the government has requested that the Ninth Circuit remand this case in order the board consider sui sponte reopening and addressing whether Sergio has been convicted of a crime of violence under 18 U.S.C. 16B in light of the recent en banc opinion of Fernandez-Ruiz. I would argue that the court should not do that. My understanding, one, is the board has not actually reopened it, so therefore jurisdiction is not removed. As I mentioned, he's been detained for two years.
I didn't understand what you just said. Jurisdiction what?
My understanding, Your Honor, is that the board has not actually reopened the case to remove jurisdiction of this court. And
they haven't. They're asking us to remand the case so that they can reopen it. And you don't want it reopened because?
Because, one, the alien has been detained for 2 years. More importantly, the standard of review in this case is de novo. Without Chevron deference, as was said in Fernandez-Ruiz, board does not administer 18 U.S.C. Section 16, also does not have the special expertise required. So basically, the government is asking the board to predict how the Ninth Circuit is going to rule on a statute that it has no special expertise to decide. Many of the arguments that I'm presenting today have been presented in the briefs. Fernandez-Ruiz was issued on October 26th. This seems to be a dilatory tactic. And for many of the reasons cited in Fernandez-Ruiz for not remanding the case, that was on the modified, whether INS should have another crack under the modified categorical approach to prove the charge.
Well, why isn't 16B different than 16A, which was what was at issue in Fernandez-Ruiz?
Well, I would argue most assertively, Your Honor, that the reasoning in Fernandez-Ruiz, that the court should rely on that in finding that Sergio has not been convicted. But
what could be more central to the kind of crime that Congress was talking about than a drive-by shooting? I mean, we get very involved in sort of talking about the language of the opinions, and they get us further and further down a certain road. But isn't that precisely the sort of crime that under 16B is a crime of violence because it carries with it an inherent and substantial risk of serious bodily injury or death?
That was, if I may respectfully submit, what the board often used, where I used to work for 8.5 years, would often use to justify DUI being a crime of violence. But the key is the term of use. And I should also remind the court, he was convicted of facilitating a drive-by shooting. And under the state of Supreme Court of Washington, in order to be convicted of facilitating, you only have to have general knowledge of the crime. You do not have to have the same mental state.
He was the driver, right?
He was the driver. The perpetrator has to commit the crime recklessly. But he had only have general knowledge. I would submit, by being a driver of a car, knowing someone has a gun in your car and has a beep, that's enough to convict you. Supreme Court of Washington has made clear that just general knowledge is enough. Your Honor, if I may get into the actual merits argument, as we know,
let me just understand though. You think that based on the record here and the cases that we can decide this just straight up without a remand, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And if you were to lose or not be successful here, then your client's only other remedy would be to the Supreme Court. Is that right?
Well, yes, Your Honor. My client
I'm just trying to understand.
Yes, Your Honor. He understands that. And I talked to him. In fact, the government proposed a joint motion the night I was leaving. And I talked to my client on the phone. He fully understands that.
I just had a question. Thank you.
And so, anyway, Your Honor, if I may note that the Washington drive-by statute says, recklessly discharge a firearm in a manner which creates a substantial risk of death or serious injury to a person. The government and the board have never applied a modified categorical approach in this case. They don't argue, so therefore we have to use the categorical approach, which means all conduct of the relevant statutes must cover his offense. And under the facilitating statute, you could be convicted if you have knowledge that it will promote or facilitate the commission of the crime, and if you aid or agree to aid such other person in planning or commit it. So in other words, by merely aiding the person to recklessly discharge a firearm from a car or nearby the car is sufficient to convict you. Now, based on this court's interpretation of the term use.
But let me just carry that one step further. The facilitation, if the crime facilitated fits the categorical definition, then would you agree that the crime itself does? For example, if someone facilitates an aggravated murder by driving his friend to where he knows the friend is going to kill five people, would that facilitation come as a crime of violence in your construct under Washington law?
No, Your Honor, I respectfully disagree. As I pointed out in the brief, this is not the aiding and abetting statute under 8 U.S.C. 2, which requires an intent. This is a broadly drawn statute by the state of Washington to totally deter any chances of drive-by shootings. And so,
but the facilitation, you're saying the facilitation refers only to this crime, or to, is it a...
No, it's a separate statute under Washington law.
Okay, so back to my example, you're saying that even if you facilitate, even if you assist in something that obviously is all by itself a crime of violence, that's not good enough under Washington law.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't catch.
You're saying that does not count as an aggravated felony?
No, Your Honor, there would be two parts of my argument. One is a facilitator is even further removed than the perpetrator. So how can you say that someone has been interpreted by this court of the term use in 16A and by the Third Circuit in Tran and by the Fourth Circuit in Garcia, you have to have as this court noted, neither gross negligence in failing to proceed nor conscious disregard of substantial and unjustifiable risk of injury implies that physical force is instrumental to carrying out the crime, such as the plain meaning of the word use denotes. Then the court cited to the language in Leocal that the Supreme Court was discussing 16B, in which this board relied upon in finding this to be a 16B court. The court said the reckless disregard in Section 16 relates not to the general conduct or the possibility that harm will result from a person's conduct, but the risk that the use of physical force might be required in committing a crime. Therefore, and then the Ninth Circuit drew from that, and they also, by the way, cited the two Third Circuit cases, Upjenny and Tran, which discussed 16B, not 16A, it was noted in the dissent. Therefore, the court said, the Ninth Circuit, neither recklessness nor gross negligence is sufficient mens rea to establish that a conviction is a crime of violence. Remember, again, a person can be convicted in Washington for facilitating a drive-by shooting by merely aiding someone to recklessly discharge a firearm from a vehicle. Remember, the Supreme Court of Washington said you only need general knowledge. You don't have to even have reckless mental state. So as my example, the driver of the car, just by being in the car, knowing the person has a gun, knowing they have a beef against somebody, if they just decide all of a sudden to pull out their gun and shoot it, they can be convicted of facilitating.
Was he convicted of a specific subsection under what's an authenticity statute?
No, Your Honor. Well, his crime is facilitating a drive-by shooting. And it, no, it's totally a categorical approach to both statutes, and not modified. And as I said, the Ninth Circuit would not be out in left field holding that this is not a crime of violence based on Tran and Garcia, because they interpreted Leocal's language to say for 16B, substantial risk involved be a substantial risk that force will be employed as a means to an end. And Sergio did not employ force as a means to an end. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear next from the government.
That INS versus Ventura Supreme Court case controls here. Board should be given, Board of Immigration Appeals should be given the first opportunity to address a point and to apply the law of the panel decision in Fernandez-Ruiz. Fernandez-Ruiz did discuss 16A, 18 U.S.C. 16A. The board discussed 18 U.S.C. 16B. But Leocal addressed both A and B, and we believe the board should be given the opportunity to address.
If it's a purely legal question, why does that fall under Ventura? If it's
because
a purely legal question as to whether this statute is a crime of violence or not.
Well, the board should be able to apply a legal question, and the board did not have the opportunity to do that since Fernandez-Ruiz was decided in October. And the board decision was 2005.
So, this is not an area where the board is deemed to have special expertise. This is a criminal statute, so I think that whether we decide to remand or not, it's not required by Ventura, as I see it.
Well, certainly that's the board's expertise is not a criminal statute, and I certainly agree with that. But yet the board should be able to apply Ninth Circuit law to the case here and to the facts in this case. So we believe that Torah does control.
There's no facts under the categorical approach. So there's no facts to use.
But there's the record here, and there's the where the board addressed 16B. The board set out in its opinion, and let me just read here from the opinion, that this crime did constitute a crime of violence, and this offense, whatever its mens rea may be, is one that inherently involves a person acting in conscious disregard of the risk that, in the course of its commission, he may use physical force against the person of another. And the board addressed Leocal, but the board did not have the opportunity to address Fernandez-Ruiz because it had not yet been decided. So we are asking the court to remand this case in order for the board to consider Fernandez-Ruiz.
Do you want to talk about the merits beyond that?
I certainly can address the merits beyond that. If the court decides not to remand the case to the board, then this court, again, has restricted jurisdiction. The crime, the aggravated felony is defined as a crime of violence with at least a one-year sentence. Mr. Arreola had a two-year sentence, so the amount of the sentence is not an issue. The only issue is whether this is a crime of violence. We believe that the court's interpretation stands, and the court's interpretation is that as long as there is a substantial risk that a gunshot from a car in a drive-by shooting can be considered force against a person or property, or the likelihood of force against a person or property, then that is sufficient. There's a case directly on point in the Fifth Circuit called Nguyen that said that a drive-by shooting is considered a crime of violence.
Is that statute identical to ours, or is it Washington statute, or similar?
Well, it's very similar. It's not identical. It was an Oklahoma drive-by statute in that case, and here was a Washington State drive-by statute.
What are the differences? Do you know what the differences are?
I don't recall the exact difference between the Nguyen case and this in terms of the actual statute.
Does it matter that we're looking at a Washington's complicity statute where he would be charged with promoting or facilitating the crime, and Washington courts have deemed that to be a general knowledge?
I don't believe it does matter.
How does that? Everybody keeps talking about the drive-by shooting statute, but what about that statute?
Well, in the drive-by shooting, under Washington law, whether a person is an accomplice or a principal, that person is treated the same way. And the board, in its footnote in the first decision, the August 2005 decision, states that accomplice liability is not a separate crime under Washington law, and that the elements of the offense remain the same whether the accused is charged as a principal or as an accomplice. So under Washington law, he could have just as easily been the one shooting the firearm as the one driving the car. That fact doesn't make a difference in this case. He was still convicted of a drive-by shooting by complicity, two different statutes under Washington law.
And when we look at the drive-by statute, drive-by shooting statute, it appears that recklessness is one of, you can do it if it's simply reckless, and the Ruiz case seems to say that recklessness is not enough.
Right. Fernandez-Ruiz did state that recklessness was not enough, and the drive-by shooting statute is permeated with recklessness. It involves recklessly discharging a firearm, reckless conduct. This is a statute under recklessness, which brings me back to my initial point that the board didn't have the opportunity to review Fernandez-Ruiz and the reasoning in Fernandez-Ruiz with regard to this drive-by shooting statute. And in the definition of a felony, the board has to determine whether a crime of violence has occurred here. So the board should be allowed to address that because there is new law. And Ventura does apply when a case is decided that is directly applicable. Had Fernandez-Ruiz been decided, I would say that the board would have addressed that, but didn't have that opportunity.
Counsel, do you think that you would be aided by having an opportunity to do supplemental briefing?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Would you want supplemental briefing if we keep it here?
Yes, I would like supplemental briefing if you keep it here. My first choice, of course, would be to remand the case to the board, but apart from that, we would like to be able to brief this case and to consult the agency, the Department of Homeland Security, about what they believe is the application of Fernandez-Ruiz in this situation.
If we were to do that, in view of your need for consultation, what would be a reasonable time period? We're at a kind of holiday season, plus you need to consult and so forth. So if we were to order further briefing, how long would you need realistically without having to ask for extensions of time?
I think realistically 3 weeks.
Okay.
Would be perfectly fair, even with the holiday season.
And I guess there might even be a miracle that upon consultation, they might decide that in light of this case, this is not a crime of violence, correct? And then you would so advise us.
Correct, although I would rather have the board make that decision and not, you know, not the consultation of the agency or even our argument. But we believe that the board should have that first opportunity and didn't have it. And one of the board's missions is to apply the law, whether it be criminal law or any other law. And here the board did apply 18 U.S.C. 16, but without the benefit of this court's reasoning in Fernandez-Ruiz, only with the benefit of the Supreme Court's reasoning in Leocal. So Leocal did not go as far as Fernandez-Ruiz. Leocal, recklessness was not decided, was not an issue. The court did not address it.
Because in Leocal, it was negligence, really, was the basis for it. And I agree with you that we've gone further.
Yeah, where Leocal, at the very end of the decision, stated we're not going to address recklessness. It's not an issue here. This case does not present us with a question whether a state or federal offense that requires proof of the reckless use of force against a person or property of another qualifies as a crime of violence under 18 U.S.C. Section 16. Hernandez-Ruiz directly addressed that point. This case addresses 18 U.S.C. Section 16. Although it's subsection B, I think that the board needs to have the opportunity of juxtaposing Fernandez-Ruiz with Leocal in light of this case, with the record before it, as it has been established.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Towsley, you used up your time, but we used up some of it with questions, so would you care to have a minute for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor, for that generous offer. Just real quickly, the board did have a chance to address Fernandez-Ruiz in that I argued in a original appeal and a motion to reconsider the logic in Tran and in Garcia, or in Tran, I'm sorry, v. Gonzalez in the Third Circuit. I extensively argued why this should not be a 16B offense. And so the fact that the board, they had a chance to address the argument. Look at Tran v. Gonzalez. The other thing is I think that the reasons that the court did not remand in Fernandez-Ruiz is directly on point. First point, the documents cannot be inserted. Well, anyway, the evidence has been developed. They're the agency does not possess the expertise, has been discussed. The Ventura involved an issue that they had not looked at. They have here. And you have a de novo standard in Ventura. You have the substantial evidence standard. And so I would ask that you not remand it. If you should request supplemental briefing, my client has been detained for 2 years. I request a very short deadline, and I ask the government strongly urge that he be released on bond. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case just argued is submitted, and we'll let you know later our decision on whether further briefing is to be had. We'll move next to United States.